The Robber Baron, Jay Gould, 1875 to 1879, Part 1, The Union Pacific. No sooner was Jay Gould in control of the Union Pacific than he realized, as a result of his inside knowledge, he saw the potential threat of two connecting but dilapidated railroad lines that had grown up out of the railroad madness of the Southwest United States. The two roads were the Kansas Pacific and the Denver Pacific, and both were endowed with very large land grants, as well as state subsidies and local subsidies, and even foreign capital had been collected. Yet even though the railroad line tracks ended in the desert, they did make a line towards the Pacific coast parallel to the Union Pacific Railroad. This knowledge Gould kept to himself. He saw that if he bought the almost worthless stock of the Kansas Pacific, that would be selling at the time between $3 a share and 10 cents a share, and then, you know, the equally worthless Denver Pacific Road, Gould could threaten his own business, the Union Pacific. In other words, we saw how you become successful with a railroad and then these other guys try and make a parallel line. Well, here we have a guy controlling a railroad and sees a way to extort money from his own company. So by certain means of such threats, Gould could force the Union Pacific to purchase and then consolidate within itself the Kansas Pacific and the Denver Pacific Railroad. Of course, at favorable terms, that would have the effect of raising the price of the two smaller railroad places, and obviously beyond his original cost. Well, why would Gould want to damage his own property? Simple. In general, Gould stood to make more money through being the agent which did the injury than he would lose as a partner in the Union Pacific. So remember, he is about the game of making money. Well, why would Gould sell his own Union Pacific Railroad and lessen the value of it? Gould had only invested in 10% of the capital stock of the Union Pacific, which had cost him around $1 million. By forcing the worthless railroads on the Union Pacific, he would, with his left hand, cause its capital to shrink by 10%, costing his property loss to his right hand of $100,000. But again, with his left hand, he gained $10 million for the sale of his almost worthless two railroad lines, leaving Gould himself with a net profit of $9,900,000. So anyway, how does this actually go down? Initially, Gould's proposal wasn't taken seriously by the directors of the Union Pacific. The Union Pacific believed it had the situation under control and didn't need to buy the profitless lines. But Gould continued to work. Several of the directors of the UP, Russell Sage, Sidney Dillon, and Cyrus Field, were Gould's henchmen. Others on the board were simply overawed by him. So Gould artfully played upon their hopes and fears, and as a rule, they just simply hesitated to cross him. Gould had improved the Union Pacific finances slightly between 1875 and 1879, and the cash position had also been built up. First of all, withholding interest payments due to the mortgage debt held by the U.S. government. Second, by charging a large portion of the operating expenses to the construction account, thus capitalizing current disbursements as increased assets. While the properties deteriorated, Gould ordered high dividends to be paid out. $12 million were paid out in several years to the directors and the stockholders. Shortly afterwards, when Charles F. Adams Jr. became president of the Union Pacific, he found a mysterious floating debt of $10 million. That's one of Gould's little tricks. Yet, in February of 1879, Gould had a pool on Wall Street, directed by James Keene Addison Comstock, and they drove up the Union Pacific stock towards $70 a share, which, of course, would be a pretty good deal for everybody owning the stock. With exuberant reports of the Union Pacific financial progress being circulated, the common people rushed to buy the stock. Then Gould, quote, bowing to public opinion that no man should own a railroad, quietly unloaded 200,000 shares at a profit of $10 million. But even though he no longer owned Union Pacific stock, he would still have a determining voice in the management of the Union Pacific during the time before the election of the new directors. However, his plan was not complete yet. Actually, Gould's plans frequently, he has an idea where they're going and then they evolve. And he's so good at being able to move from one section of the other, which of course keeps him from being arrested or shot, and depending on who's unhappy with it. But you know, the man is just a formidable financial wizard. And he's good at finding people who are also likewise in their corruption. It's interesting to note that some of the people that I mentioned assisting him, Comstock, Keene, and Sage, he's going to get involved with them on several deals, and ultimately they will turn against him, which is going to start to lead to his downfall, although he never completely will melt completely down, but he will have some bad moments. Now, the sources for this are The Robber Barons by Matthew Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, The Age of Moguls, The Story of the Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.